for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, September the 3rd, 2000. This is the ladies' meeting with Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee. Is this teacher?
Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you. Lord, as your children, we just lift up the name of Jesus. We come, Father, to give glory and honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, we pray that you'll just do a work in each of us this afternoon. Lord, examine our hearts. And Lord, just show us the need within each heart and each life. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for your love. And Lord, your mercy. That you do not judge us, but you give us mercy now, Father, and we thank you for it. And as we gather together, Father, we just ask that by your Spirit you just have your way in Jesus' name. And we'll praise you and give you all the glory and honor. And Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, the authority you've given me, I bind principalities and powers and rulers of darkness over this church. In Jesus' name, I bind every spirit in this place, anything that's come in, anything, any control, any witchcraft, I bind the Jezebel spirit, I bind all the spirits of seduction that are working in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just ask you to let your angels go forth and remove every spirit. I bind them with the power of your word. You said, whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatever I loose is loose. So I just loose, Father, the angels to go forth to remove every spirit, every hindering spirit, and every harassing spirit, and every spirit of control in the name of Jesus. And Father, we praise and give you glory and honor in the mighty name of Jesus. And I cut off any Satanism. I bind any witches or warlocks or wizards, any satanic forces from the north to south or the east or the west, and I bind the rulers from the ground in the name of Jesus. And I thank you again, Father, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start this first with Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. I touched on this yesterday afternoon, just on the gates of hell. I usually keep my mouth from getting so dry. But I touched a little bit on the gates of hell. And this Python spirit, I believe with all my heart, is one of the rulers of the gate. So let's look at Matthew 16 and verse 18, when Jesus had talked to Peter and asked him, "Who do men say that I am?" I've shared this before, but I want to touch it just for a minute. He said, when Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," he said that the Father had revealed that to him, the Holy Spirit had revealed to him who Jesus was. And that is where our authority comes from, is who Jesus Christ is to us. I mean, when you know that when you pray in the name of Jesus that the Father hears you, and you know the authority he's given you, it's in who Jesus is to you. I had the Lord wake me up one morning and teach this 13th through 19th verse to me. And he said that my binding worked according to my faith in him. And so I shared one time about this. But he said here in verse 18, he said, "And I say also unto thee," Jesus talking to Peter, "that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And I looked up the word gates. I forgot where I wrote it down. I hope I wrote it on this page. But where did I write that? I had a pad in my hand when I was writing it, so I probably put it on there. Oh, the gates of hell is the unseen world. And it's the powers of darkness and the rulers of darkness. Also in Greek, it'll say where the dead are. I forgot there's something else it says, but I can't remember. But it's talking, when you go through the scriptures, when it talks about the gate, at the gates of cities, and we know every city and every place has got a gate. At the gate, there's the power. I want to say something before I forget it, because the enemy likes to keep me from remembering to share. Where you build an altar, what kind of altar you build is what kind of spirits that come there. If you see people echoing this thing, and it's ringing in my ear, but that's okay. Hold it away. if you see people or know people that are in, say, perversion or whatever, say, in their house, and if you'll notice, most of the time, you say, well, how do you know this? A lot of times it's darkness all around it. Well, what they're doing, they're building an altar to Satan there. Every perverted act is an altar. See, we build an altar to worship God, and we worship the true and living God. But if we get out of order, and I'm saying if we build the wrong kind of altar, then we call in the... Where an altar is, there are spirits, is what I think I need to say. That you either have the spirits of God or the spirits of the enemy. And it's according to what kind of altar you're building and what you've got going on there, that what kind of spirits are coming. I've got a lot of stuff on this, on gates. The gates of heaven, the gates in the earth, and the eye gate, and the water gate, and all of these different gates that we need to, one of these days, really learn what they mean. But when I was reading this the other day, and the Lord said to me, He said, we need to start binding spirits at the gates of hell. We need to know what we're binding. We're binding the powers of darkness. We're binding, over in Ephesians, in the sixth chapter, it tells us in verse 12 that we're not fighting against flesh and blood. See, spirits operate, you all know this, that they operate in people. They operate in the flesh. God, do they operate. I'm so sick of the flesh. I'm so sick of the flesh, I don't know what to do. I can't stand to see it. And I'm not gonna sit under it, nor listen to it, nor put up with it. Because God wants us to moved by the spirit. But the spirit, the wrong spirits a lot of times operate in the flesh. And he tells us, Paul tells us in Ephesians in verse 12, he says, for we wrestle not against the flesh, against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, we really need to ask the Lord to give us discernment. The enemy is working so hard, and sometimes we're so spiritually blinded that we don't even recognize what he's doing. So he's telling us, we're not fighting people anywhere, but we are fighting the spirits that are trying to take over and control. And so we start with binding the strong man. We start with binding the spirits that are operating. You know, if you go into into a church, I had a tape one time that Wim Hurley did. And he was over here, and I know he and Irma had walked into church together years ago, and somebody was ministering or something, or talking or doing something in the church, and Irma and he, I'm telling you what I got on one of my tapes. I don't know where they were leading, what they were doing, but and I don't remember the circumstances, but he said, they looked at one another, and one of them, I don't even know which one of them said, that's the flesh, and the other one says, let's bind it, and they started binding the spirits, and I thought, you know, we need to be able to discern what's of God and what's not, and so we need to bind, and we're not binding people, but we're binding the spirits that are operating through people, so praise the Lord, but we are fighting these spirits, we're fighting principalities. We're not fighting little demons like we used to, people. You're fighting rulers. You're fighting world rulers. We're fighting the principalities, the powers in the heavenlies. We're fighting against the rulers of the darkness of this world. The devil's trying to put us all in darkness. And I tell you, we all need to pray for discernment. It's amazing to me how God's people sometimes get so drawn in. Spiritual blindness. Well, I tell you, God is telling us that we're in a war, and we need to do our warfare. We need to stand, you know, and bind the spirits. But this spirit of Python that I'm fixing to share with you about, it kills people. It squeezes the very life out of them. We are fighting principalities and powers. Now, I want you to go, I've got one more scripture before I go to Acts. I want to go to Revelation chapter 9. Reba mentioned this to me this morning, and I thought I need to also add this one to these spirits to the. I believe that we fight spirits such as spirits of Lucifer, now spirits of Apollyon, of Leviathan. These are ruler spirits. Leviathan, who's a prince of ruler of pride, he's a king over all the children of pride. He's a ruler. I sometimes think he's Lucifer himself, and he probably is. Beelzebub. Jezebel is a strong spirit, real strong spirit, a spirit of control that can control men. read Revelation, what is it, Revelation 18? It's over there. It talks about the judgment of Jezebel. These are ruler spirits. I'm talking demons now that are ruling. Asmodeus is one. He's a powerful spirit. He's a sex spirit. Tries to destroy homes, marriages, keeps people. I wonder if he isn't Asmodeus and Osmodeus. One works in men, one works in women. And I wonder if it's not the spirits that keep people from getting married that just cause them to live together. He doesn't care about, you know, destroying people. The Python spirit, which is the spirit of divination, and I believe he's the ruler of witchcraft. Rebellion is another one. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, but rebellion is, we have rebellion and rejection, who are two rulers that work with in the area of schizophrenia. And I don't have time to go into that, but they are just the spirits that are above the one that the damnable seed. But I'm talking about right now just the spirits that I believe that God has been showing us, that they're like the seven heads of the beast and the dragon. So as we look at this in Revelation chapter 9, in verse 1, it said, "The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out, out as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power." You've got locusts, and you have scorpions that come forth in that smoke. I've taught them this over here before, this whole chapter, where the smoke is the screen that comes forth that blinds us to the real thing that's going on. The enemy only lets you see what he wants you to see, where he'll slip in these other spirits while you're not looking. But the scorpion and the locusts are tormentors. They torment. They come in to torment God's people. He said in verse 4, it said, "It was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead." You know, the seal of God is in the forehead of the overcomer and the intercessors, but it's in the forehead of those that overcome. If you do the seven churches in Revelation, it tells us about the overcomer. But in verse 10, down to verse 10, it says, "And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings." If you read the rest of it, it's talking about the locusts and the what came out of the bottomless pit. Years ago, I don't know how many years ago, I dealt with this spirit of Apollyon. And I knew then that the bottomless pit was open, because the thing was telling me when I said, "I bind you from the heavens," and he said, "I didn't come from there." And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and they had, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon. And it also, their names mean destruction or destroyer. And so these are other spirits that I believe that when I talk about the gates of hell, that are there, that we are working and fighting against today. And this spirit of, I've never heard anyone teach on the spirit of Python. And when I got to looking at this thing, and it's the spirit of divination. Over in, turn to Acts, and we'll see what the word says about it. It doesn't say it in this book of mine, but when I look up the word divination, it talks about the Python, when I looked it up in the Greek. But some of your Bibles will have a footnote that when it says the spirit of divination here, it tells you in your footnote that it's the spirit of Python. So, let's look. "It came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel," Acts 16, verse 16, I'm sorry. "It came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us unto us the way of salvation. And thus she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out at the same hour. And when her master saw that their that the hope of their gains was gone, they called caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." So, you see here, when you go back up here and look at this 16th verse, it said that this damsel was possessed. And I want to show you something. I looked up the word possessed. I don't think I've ever really looked it up before, because we use it a lot in the area of teaching on deliverance. But when you look into the Greek, it says to hold on to grab hold of. And when you think about something that's possessed by spirit, that demon has got a hold of them and is holding on to them, and it has grabbed them, and they can't get free from it. They can get free if they'll seek the Lord, but I mean, they can't. Sometimes cannot free themselves. I don't care how much you praise and how much you give, you know, dance, and you know, some people say, "Well, I get delivered in praise." That's, you can get deliverance in praise and worship. You can. Those little ones will just drop off. So Gene and I were sitting in church the other night, and I saw this one go down the aisle, and I said, "Look at that, Gene, the spirit." She said, "Yeah, I see it. It was just going down the aisle." So those little things will drop off in praise and worship, and you can see them. I've walked along the street and seen them on the street. I used to try to step around them, you know, and I thought, "Hey, that's a spirit. Why am I trying to step around that thing? Just step around." I've seen them when they were like this, look like big spiders on the sidewalk. And other times I've seen them just like a big old glob of just whatever. I've seen them also in the heavens that were so tremendous, so humongous, that it was almost unbelievable that they could shrink and get into a person. That was, I saw the dragon in the heavens, and it was the most, and I've seen the octopus in the heavens. I've seen the power spirits in the heavens that look like great, and people ask me what they look like. I saw the dragon. I saw the octopus, which is a mind control spirit that looks just like an octopus. One a big silver long-haired ape, looks like a great big monster of an ape, which is the power spirit, which is used in witchcraft. But we're not talking about what they look like today, but I just want to tell you that when I saw that dragon, my thought was, "I'm sure glad it's going down the road," but I found out it was circling my house, that it had been sent to take. Anyways, we'll leave that alone. I'm so glad God, I have angels protecting me. I tell you, it's wonderful when the demons say, "I'd kill you, I've killed you a long time ago if I could," but for those blankety blank angels. I said, "Thank you, Lord, for your angels that protect." I hear them fight in my house. I hear them rustling. And that trailer up there is where I'm staying. I have had knocking on the wall, slamming up against the wall, walking through the house. It's so much fun. I have to get, all they do is get me up to pray. They'll leave me alone. They'll have enough sense to know that when they disturb me, I'm going to get them to start binding. So thank God for binding and loosening. But this spirit of divination that possessed this woman, which is the spirit of Python, it worked as a soothsaying spirit. It worked as a fortune-telling spirit. And I'm going to give you a scripture that tells you it's the tale of the dragon himself that is a false prophet. But it kills people. I'm going to tell you something. I was in my church one time when we were up in the Pathway of Light. We changed the name when we moved it to Millington. And I was behind the pulpit preaching, and the serpent came up. I mean, he was a monster. Came up and got up right in front of me. And he was going, you know how they do? How their mouths work like this? And his head was going backwards and forth. I was preaching, and I said to Jim, "Drive that thing out of here." He said, "I don't see it. You drive it out." And so I said, "You get out of here. I bind you in the name of Jesus." And that thing just slithered and left. But it was in the spirit realm that I saw it. God just opened my eyes, and sometimes he'll do that and show you what's attacking you. But you watch this thing. A python does not break bone. I mean, does not... how does he kill his victims? Squeezes them. And I thought about, I wish I had discovered this when my husband had lung cancer, because it made me wonder that if maybe this was the thing that had been sent to destroy him. He just got where he couldn't breathe. It was just squeezing the very life out of him. So it works. It will also keep you from praying. You ever have sometimes the Lord wants you to pray or maybe gets you up to pray, and you go to walking through the house and praying, or I don't know how you pray. I walk when I pray. I walk when I talk on the telephone. I just walk. And so sometimes you'll be walking through the house praying, and all of a sudden you just shut down, and you really don't even realize that you've shut down. This thing works that way. He comes in. He stops. I had looked up some things about him. Said the Python spirit is a spirit of divination. It operates in soothsaying, and soothsaying, when I looked it up in the concordance, it said a prophet is supposed to rave. He raves through inspiration. Now, this is a false prophet I'm talking about. A diviner. He utters spells under the pretense of foretelling by soothsaying. The Python is one who hisses. He speaks without moving his mouth, his lips, throwing his voice. You look it up in your concordance and get your dictionary out and look at some of these. Webster's dictionary gives you a scriptural, a reference on what they say. They'll give you to you in the natural, then they'll give you the meaning if you've got an old, real old dictionary, what it means in the scripture. I was looking in Webster's, and it might have been in one of the footnotes of one of my Bible, and it said, I can't remember where I got this, either out of my footnote of one of my Bibles. I've got so many, I don't remember which one I was using. But it said Apollo, the god of prophecy and divination, was supposedly to have killed the Python. In Greek mythology, he said, I didn't bring those notes. I thought I had it, but I just wrote down part of this. But if you go back to the spirit of the Apollon spirit of Apollon over here in Revelation, you've really got some power spirits working together, okay? But I want you to know that this spirit of divination, I was ministering, I was ministering to a lady that is a minister one time, and she had cancer, and I was praying to her, and the Lord, she came up and wanted me to, she called me on the phone, and she wanted to come to my house and stay, and I wasn't sitting where I could have her come to my house, but she wanted me, and my husband and I prayed for her, so we did. And we manifested the spirit that was causing the cancer. When I do deliverance, I go after whatever's causing the sickness. I told y'all that. Well, I said, you demon that's putting this cancer on her, I command you to manifest in the name of Jesus. And you see, it's the name of Jesus and the power of the Spirit of God that manifests demons. And so that thing manifested, and it threw her down on the floor, and it had come in from her mother, is what that thing told me. So I told him he had to go, and he told me, he said, she doesn't want me to go. I said, you're a liar. She does. You can't stay there. He says, but if I leave, she won't have a ministry. Spirit of Python, which was a spirit of divination, which was a spirit of false prophecy, which was part of her ministry was prophecy, and people wanted the prophets. I've seen people follow prophets around with their little tape recorder and recording. You know, this makes me angry because God didn't tell us to be led by prophecy. What did he tell us to be led by? Those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. But see, this spirit, now that's the true spirit of prophecy. We all know that. But what I'm telling you about, God wants us, I think what he's trying to say to us, okay, people start discerning what's going on around you, and always judge it by the Word and what God's already revealed to you. And a man prophesied me one time that I was going to foreign lands, and I was going, he said, I see you ministering on dirt floors. And I thought, he said, and I see you just ministering to a lot of people. And I thought, I have never felt led to go out. And I thought, God, if that's you, you really got to make me go. You know, I did minister to black people at a mission and black and white homeless people. And I thought, well, maybe that's what he was saying. Then he came back and he prophesied on me another time. We just love this man. But when he prophesied this on me, I almost wanted to call him a false prophet. And by the way, it's never come true, neither one of them. He said, God's going to give you your weight in gold. I said, what would I do with it? And I said to him, I said, you know, his name was something. I call him Mac all the time. I said, Mac, what would I do with my weight in gold? I said, you know what I want more than anything in this world? It's wisdom from God, the knowledge of God, and the things of God to know God. Oh, well, you're full of spiritual. You're just religious and trying to be spiritual. I said, well, you can call me what you want to. That's what I desire from God is God. I don't care for his gold or his silver. If he, you know, as long as he meets my needs. And since I've been in deliverance, God's always met my needs. So praise God for that. But I want you to know this is why they came against Paul and Silas when they went in there and delivered this woman from this Python spirit, because this spirit was making them money by prophesying or whatever it was doing to get people to give them money. And so he said, they threw them in jail, remember? And you remember about midnight, they prayed and sang, praise God, and God freed them. So, but this spirit of Python, as the things that I have found out about him, over in Acts 13, he's called a false prophet, but it hinders prayer. As we go into, let's go to Acts chapter 13. By the way, did you notice that Paul and Silas, this thing followed them for several days before the Spirit of the Lord showed them what this was? And you see, the Spirit was telling truth, wasn't he? What did he say? I'm going to Acts 8, 13, but I want to finish this. I don't want to pass this up. He was telling them, in other words, what I was seeing when I read this, this spirit in that girl, they were using that spirit in her to try to make people think that she was connected with Paul and them's ministry. And see, she was saying, these men are of God. They're great men of God. Well, that was true. So you see, a false prophet can tell you some things that's true. And I'm not on a false prophet. I want you to see this spirit. We want to recognize this spirit, because this spirit will squeeze the life out of you, the spiritual life and the physical life. You know, I was talking to I think in the kitchen this afternoon or the lunch, I said, you know, whenever I was talking to you about it, about Ezekiel 13, if you read the first part of Ezekiel 13, it talks about the false prophet. And, you know, God will deal with them, because God says, they say, and I have not sent them. They say, God said, but he said, I've not said that. And if you'll read that whole chapter, when you get to 18 through 20, something that goes to talking about the 100 souls, that the women with their magic and their pouches on their and all of this, the 100 souls that hunts people's soul. And what I was seeing in this, as I was studying this, and I didn't even know I was going to get into this scripture, but the Lord Holy Spirit gave it to me just now, that when you begin to follow a person just for the prophecy, and I don't care whether he's a false prophet or a true prophet, that if you just start following him for the prophecies, that you get such a soul tie with him that you can lose your soul. Read the whole thing. It's in the Word. It said he hunts the souls to make them fly. That scripture, the latter part of that scripture says that this hunter of souls keeps people alive that ought to die and kills people that should stay alive. Because why does he do that? Because he takes the soul out of them, gives them a spirit of death or cancer or whatever, and they die. Or puts them where they're incapacitated, where they're no good. They cannot finish the work that God called them to do. You know, people, it's time for us to wake up and smell the coffee. God has given every one of us the same Holy Ghost. He didn't give me more than he gave you, and he didn't give you more than he gave me. But he gave us, and in that Holy Spirit within us is 9 gifts. Had a guy came to me since I walked this camp, said, you know, Sister Coffee, said, you'd really be something if you'd prophesy. I said, why? There's enough people up here prophesying, and when God gives me something, I give it the way God has taught me to give it. And you don't even know it's prophecy I'm giving you, a word from the Lord. You thought I was smart. I'm not. I just listen to God. I used to do that on telephone all the time. People call me up, and they come in. I thought, oh, Lord, here we go again. And they won't answer. So I don't have a word. I don't have nothing. I don't know what their problem is. And while they're talking to me, God goes to talking to me, and I just answer them. And they think, and finally, I said, when I was praying one time for the gift, saying, Lord, let the gifts come forth in me, I did not want the vocal gifts to be, there's so much of it. And I'm not against it. I love it. And it draws people to you. And I just wanted God, you know. And I said something to God, he said, did you really think you were that smart? I said, no, Lord. He said, I've been talking through you for years. And I thought, oh, Lord, thank you. I said, you know, I'm smart. I didn't even know it. I say, I'm honest. I really try not to pretend to be something I'm not. I'm just me, okay? And the Lord loves me anyways. Thank God for that. Oh, he told me that. He told me that he'd never leave me nor forsake me. So praise God. But what I want you to see this afternoon, that this thing can, it can steal your soul. He said, and the verse 18 said, the verse 17 says, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And when Paul and them called them out, they threw them in jail. Got our familiar spirit, you got our python spirit, our dev spirit of divination. If you look up the divination and go over in the Old Testament, it'll tell you all the things that are involved in that divination. You've got witchcraft, you've got soothsaying, you've got a witch spirit working. You've got all of these spirits under that thing, and it works in God's people to keep them from walking in the fullness, to separate us, to pull us away from the Lord. Okay, in Acts 13 and verse 4. I believe, no, let me see. Let's drop down a little bit. I'm going to read a little. Let's start with 4. He said, and so they, talking about, this is Paul and Barnabas, and said, so they, being sent by the Holy Ghost, departed unto, whatever. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. And they had also joined John to their ministry. And when they had gone through the isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with a deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. So you see, here we've got it in the scripture where this thing will work and try to separate you from what you believe. And you know, if we don't learn to discern this thing, it can pull us totally away from the faith that we had at the beginning. Whatever in Revelation was Jesus talking about, when the Lord talking about when he's talking to John in Revelation, said, you've left your first love. Can you see this thing, how it can work and pull you away? Not only drain you and kill you, destroy you spiritually, but it can destroy you physically, and it can take you totally away from the Lord. Over in Matthew's Gospel, I was looking at this, and I saw that it works similar to the Leviathan. We've always said Leviathan, and maybe it's not Leviathan that's doing this, and I had never applied it before. But, you know, I always thought the spirit of Leviathan would put you to sleep. But I got to, when I read this scripture in Matthew 26, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the disciples were with him, if you remember, when he went to pray, he took Peter and John and Peter, James, and John with him, which were in the inner court with him when he went to pray. They went to sleep when he went to pray. He said, pray with me. Let's look at Matthew 26 and verse 36. He says, I'm in the wrong scripture. Let me turn over a page. Then cometh Jesus with them to a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went and a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So you see, when he took them with him into the garden to pray, this thing, they wanted to stay awake. They wanted to pray with him. They had no idea what was fixing to happen to him. But they went to sleep. And you know, the Lord was talking to me, and I was reading earlier when Jesus went to the cross. You know, the word tells us in Psalms that not a bone of him would be broken. Have any of you ever read the little book that the day Christ died? You ought to get it and read it sometimes. It really shows you the suffering that Jesus went through on that cross. But when I read it, it just really did something to me. When Jesus was on the cross and his hands were up and his feet were nailed to the cross, he couldn't breathe. And he'd have to take his feet and push himself up so he could get a gasp for breath. Now, I want you to look at this. I told you that python thing squeezes the lungs or the breath out of people. Could it be that, you know, Satan thought he had ended all of this when Jesus went to the cross? We know that the Lord did, God did this. But could it be this was what happened, actually happened to him, that thing just squeezed the life of him? He didn't have a bone broken because he was already dead when they came to break his legs. You know, they broke the legs where they couldn't push themselves up anymore and they died faster. So I was thinking about it and I thought, is that why the devil thought he, Lord, is that really why the devil thought he had killed Jesus? You know, he didn't kill him. God did. God let him, you know, God turned his back. When he went to the cross, he took our sins upon there. But if you look at that, think about how people die with lung cancer. Could this spirit be the ruler of lung cancer? How many people today do you know, ever since my husband died with it, everywhere I turn, I find somebody in their family has either or is dying or has died of lung cancer. You know, the Lord talked to me one time about the beast and the false prophet and about the fluids and people, how people were having to have new hearts, heart transplants and had kidney transplants and liver transplants. And these spirits are the reason that all of this stuff is happening. I believe we need to start waking up and search. I want you to search the scriptures and see what you can find on this spirit of divination, this spirit of Python, and how it operates, okay? You get in and do your work. You get in there and dig out, and let's see what we can find that this thing is doing. It's killing people. I believe that with all my heart. And I know it kills, and as I said, it's a python kills. It wraps itself around its victim and squeezes them. But you look at, it can kill through pulling people away from the Lord, getting them off on the wrong track, getting them following the wrong false god. It'll put you to sleep. Keep you from hearing what God is trying to say. Get into the Word and go to read it sometimes and just get so sleepy. Every one of us has probably been affected by this thing because of the sins of the forefathers, that our forefathers that walked in witchcraft and divination, soothsaying, all of the things that are under this spirit. And the biggest thing it does, it lies. It prophesies to you. It prophesies to you. I'm not talking about men or women prophesying to you with the spirit in them. I'm talking about that thing prophesying inside of you. It's talking to you. It talks, and it'll talk you out of the things of God and make you believe the things that are not of God that are real, which will bring you into bondage and separation from the Lord. Can you see what I'm saying this afternoon? I haven't finished my study on this. I had just had a half a page of this when I started last week studying on, when the Lord began to talk to me about it. I'm going back and do some more digging in it because I know that I firmly believe that it's a ruler spirit over a lot of sickness, and I believe it's killing a lot of people. And just like some of the others that we know, as I said, the hunter souls and the witchcraft, all this stuff that we've seen and all the things over in Isaiah. By the way, there's a scripture over in 2 Kings from Manasseh, and let's go to that one. I want to show you something in that. 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord after the abomination of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. I want you to know that Manasseh's name means, let me go here where I can find what it means. I hope I wrote that down. It means causing to forget. You having trouble remembering? Okay. And he built up again the high places, which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he reared up altars for Baal and made a grove, as did Ahab king of Israel, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. Now Hezekiah's name means, if I can find that, Oh, here it is. God is my strength. Hezekiah followed God. And here we've got, he had got destroyed all the altars and all the things of Baal. And here comes his son that forgot God, caused the people to forget God, and to build the altars to Baal. So here we see another reason, you know, I was talking about the soul and getting your soul cleansed of all the spirits yesterday and day before yesterday. And, you know, none of those tapes were good. The devil didn't want us to have it. We must have had something on there that the Lord really wanted us to have because he sure blocked them. But think about this. Are you having trouble with your memory? Start binding in yourself a spirit of divination or call in Python. But it is a spirit that is working against you and I to keep us from remembering. You have heard and read enough word to free half the world. And how much of it do you really remember right now? So he's come in and he's caused us to forget what God has given us. Okay, give you another scripture. I'm going to go to 2:30 and then we're going to stop and do deliverance, okay? I'm going to go to 2:30 by faith. We may stop before then. But go to Isaiah chapter 9, and let's look at this scripture. In verse 13 in chapter 9, the word says, "For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush in one day." The ancient and honorable, he is the head. And the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail. But the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. So Isaiah is talking about the tail of the dragon. He's talking about the tail of the dragon, which is the false prophet. So here we've got another description of a false prophet. And people, I'm telling you, this false prophet is real. And you can, and I still think he's the Python spirit, and I don't know, as what I see in this era, this spirit, he is such a powerful spirit. He could actually be, I would think, be called a spirit of Lucifer himself because of what he does. And that thing has led so many of God's people away from the truth. And when God shows you something and he's talking to you, this thing will talk you out of it. This, when he's sitting there saying, "Now that's just you. You know that's not God." You ever heard that? "That's just you. And look at you. You're critical. You're not judging. You're not letting the Holy Spirit tell you truth. You just see, we're not the only one to get in doubt. You know, the big men. We you know." It was so funny. Oh boy. I always think it's good because it just tells me I'm not the only one that has to war. Praise the Lord. But you see, the enemy talks us out of what God is telling us. And so we need to really recognize, that thing. This thing has worked in one of the women in our church for so long, it was her God. It really was. She thought it was the Holy Spirit. Well, let me put it this way. I don't know what she thought was the Holy Spirit, but she always called it God. God told me. And I said to her one time, "You know something, I never hear you talk about Jesus. Don't you ever talk about him? And would you tell me who your God is?" And she said, "Well, he's been with me all my life." I said, "Really? Well, I think we better cast your God out." And a woman told me, she played the piano, and she said, "I can only worship the Lord at the piano. I never worship any other place." I said, "Well, you're not worshiping God, the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father, God the Son." I said, "You're worshiping your God. Your God is false." So, guess what? We cast out her false God. I had a lady tell me this over when I was over in Oxford, Mississippi one time. She said, "You know, when I get on the piano, I can just really worship the Lord, but any other time I can't." And they never, you see, this thing is so blinding, it blinds a person so much that they don't realize what's happening to them. You can see how this thing works in us. And people, you know, if you have problems of any kind, you can bind the spirits in yourself. I always find people want to bind everybody else. And I said, you know, you need to bind yourself. Start with yourself. But, and you know, before you go to do deliverance for people or walk in, if you walk in a church and you feel like, well, I'm just not even wanted there, well, you know, you need to go right back outside and you need to start binding everything in you, the accusers of the brethren. And you know, you walk in, you'd be surprised how much the people have you there. Because that thing just, you know, we just don't believe in binding, because if we did, we'd always start with ourselves. I do that when I go to church on Sunday morning. I mean, every Sunday morning, I bind from my house to church everything in me. Because we got a man in my church that knows how to push my butt and make me mad, so I get everything bound in me. I tell you, he does. It's just like he knows the right place to push. So since I started binding, and especially since Jim's gone, it's me he picks on. And before, he used to bug Jim. And so I start binding, and he can't do that to me anymore. And then when I get to church, I bind every spirit in the church, and I go and anoint the door of the church and say, cover it with the blood. And I say, Lord, everybody comes in this door bound, head and foot. Well, you know, it's you have to have some kind of protection, you know, when you're standing with that. Anyway, praise the Lord. Well, let's go on. I have one more thing I want to share. Is on the Jezebel spirit. As I said, that was one of the things that I believe that's one of the rulers of the gates of hell. And over in 1 Kings, I was asking this, praying this morning when I was sitting at my table studying, and I said, Lord, show me something about this spirit. I know what the Revelation talks about. And over in 1 Kings in chapter 16, and verse 31, that's what the Lord gave me. So we need to really bind the Jezebel spirit, and you need to bind him in the heavenlies. You need to bind him over your home. You need to bind him over the city. You need to bind him. We need to bind these spirits by name. And we need to start with binding the gates of hell itself, the gate into the place, the spirit world. There are... where we bind the rulers. In verse 31 in 1 Kings, well, it said it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took, talking about Ahab, I should have backed up and read all that. He took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. I want to tell you something. We talk about the Jezebel spirit, but as I told Dr. Noel down there when he told me he was going to teach on Jezebel, I said we wouldn't have a Jezebel if we didn't have so many Ahabs. So I think we need to work on Ahab too, you know, because we really do, because he is a powerful spirit. Well, we really, and you know what? I'll tell you something else, that a Jezebel spirit in a man is the most vicious spirit I ever saw. He is the most vicious thing. And we really need to come against those spirits, because this is what we're seeing that's working. You've got the Python, you've got the Jezebel, and when I was naming them all, God didn't name the Ahab, but he's a powerful spirit. Because what I see with Ahab, he sits back, and he's really in charge of Jezebel. She's doing his work. He won't do it. You ever seen people that say, now I want you to go do, you go stop this now. You go tell them to stop this. Now this is Ahab's spirit. And he's sending someone else to go out and do the dirty work. Yeah. So you go back and look at what in the scriptures, how he worked with Jezebel. He pouted and he cried. And he wanted Naboth's vineyard. So what did he do? He whined and she says, don't worry, I'll take care of it for you. And he gave her his full permission to do it, because he didn't tell her to stop. And so she goes out and gets him and has him killed and takes his vineyard. So you see what I'm talking about? He's more powerful than she is, and you never hear any... I told Dr. Noel if he preached on Ahab. Oh, no, Jezebel, I was preaching on Ahab. I said, I'm going to sit on the front row and help you. Oh, praise the Lord. We fight a lot, you know. kidding. But it's true. It is true. He is a strong spirit, and God knows we know about him now. We need to bind that thing. We need. If you see a Jezebel working, we need to bind the Ahab behind her. Don't you see that? It is so important to start binding that Ahab spirit. Well, anyways, here we are. We've got the Python spirit. We've got to bind the gates of hell. We need to bind the gates of hell. We need to bind the spirit of divination, the soothsaying. We need to bind the false prophet. What I'm saying is that the spirit of Python is the one that's ruling, but on top of working through him is all these other spirits. See, it's like your octopus spirit that has all the tentacles down here. So you've got the ruler sitting up here who is the Python. And you need to start. What we've been doing is going after all the other things, and we need to go after the root cause instead of going after getting those little ones that go scooting across the floor every time you say boo, stomp your foot. My son, I always told y'all, my son's called them furballs. He said, all those furballs, I said, they go fast. I said, yeah, but we're not after furballs. They'll leave on their own. They get scared and run. You say boo, and they'll run. And people say, well, I'm delivered. Good. They don't bother me. You're taking them home with you. So, and I said this, I keep looking at my watch, it isn't there. It's, you know, but anyways, the thing is that the root cause has got to be gotten out. And if we'll start binding these power spirits, like I said, the gates of hell, the bottomless pit that's in us, the pit that's in us that the spirits are there from that have come down through our bloodline. When you get into real deliverance one-on-one and you're doing deliverance and you've got someone that's really wanting real deliverance, when you, what I mean, wanting to be free, that they don't want just relief. You know, when I say real deliverance, they want to be free. A lot of people just want relief. As this woman says, I got deliverance today. I feel better. I said, I don't do deliverance to make you feel better. She don't say that to me anymore. I said, you go down and get the root of them things. I said, get on your face before the Lord, confess your sins and repent and ask God to deliver you. And then repent of all this I feel better stuff. But we can get them feeling better by just getting cutting the grass, the top off your grass. But we need to go after the root cause. And so this is why I think the Lord was having me bring in. I had to bring in this gates of hell. I didn't know I was going to do that. I was going just after the Python itself. But if the Python is sitting there in one of the rulers at the gate, which he is, he may even be the head honcho of the gate, because I'm almost to the place I think it's Lucifer himself. You know, Lucifer himself's not in us, but this spirit the one that, you know, I'll say this, and then we're going to do deliverance. I find that every spirit that I've dealt with that is a power spirit, that there's a ruler in the heavens giving strength to him. And unless you cut the power off in the heavens, you're not going to do a whole lot with the one you're after down here. Okay? Because if you start binding the ones that's let's take fear. Fear is something everyone's involved in. I mean, one way or the other, little fears, big fears, tremendous fears, all kinds of fears, fear of death, fear of cancer, fear of this, fear of the dark, fear of people, fear of being robbed, fear of being killed, fear of whatever, has a ruler. And he's a strong man of fear. And if you bind the fear in the heavenlies, before you start after the fear, binding fear, if you're fearful of something, bind it up and say, quote the scripture to it, God's not giving me a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. But and if you will bind that one in the heavenlies first and cut his power off, he can't manipulate all the fears and yank up all the fears in you. You can bind one spirit of fear, you can bind fear of the dark and another fear of, what was that noise? Like knuckle on my wall. I answered one of those this morning. I got to tell you that. I thought somebody was at the door. I was back in the back of the trailer and I heard the knock on the door. I thought it was on the door, it was on the wall. And I said, I'll be there in a minute. And I went to the front and I thought, and I heard it again. And then when I got to the front of the trailer, I knew where it was coming from. It was coming from the back side of the trailer. And I was in the back of the trailer and couldn't tell. And it sounded like somebody at the door. How'd you like to live where somebody knocks on your wall all the time? And sometimes it's not just a knock, it's a wham, isn't it? They have it too, they know. Praise the Lord. Okay, I don't know if I've helped y'all, but I sure helped myself with this, because I'm telling you, God is telling us that it's time that we fight the rulers. Let's go after the... Oh, yeah. The ruler over your... Really? Oh, he's a monster, too. I'm glad you brought that up, Reba, because, you know, religion is hard. And it's hard to get someone delivered from a religious spirit until they renounce it. They have got to renounce it because it's a, but he's a power thing, and he's a mean one, too. And he controls a lot of stuff. So you have got religion. If you're a, if you're working with someone that's bound by religion, if they say they're in a certain church, and maybe like the young man told me one time in the church, said, "I was born Baptist, I was raised Baptist, I'm gonna die Baptist." I said, "Well, I sure hope you die Christian." So what he needed was a, back then I didn't think about breaking soul ties, but he needed a soul tie broken from the Baptist church and the Baptist tradition. That was religion. That was a religious spirit talking to me. And you, when you try to share some of the things that you know with someone that doesn't believe like you do, you need to bind a religious spirit so they can hear you. Did you know that spirit will not let them hear you? They will. It will come up and argue, try to argue with you. Or just tell you you're wrong and all this, and you're not trying to argue with someone. You're just trying to help someone. So our binding, this binding key of that God gave us, Jesus told us he was going to give to Peter and them. Peter, he said when he was going to give them the keys of the kingdom of heaven, is one of the keys to helping get people delivered and helping us stay free. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, okay, are y'all ready for some deliverance? We've got at least 25 minutes, or 30. If you want some deliverance, I'm going to go after the python for just a few minutes. For those, I told this at the beginning, I'm still going to do it. We're going to have individual deliverance. If you want some deliverance, we've got some people that will work. But let me go after the python and the forces that work with it before we get into the individual. But I would like for us to go one-on-one or two-on-one, or however it is, how many we need. I'd really like to have two people doing it, but if they don't have enough workers, we'll just go one-on-one. If you really want some individual deliverance, the little girl told me she wants some individual deliverance. It's not even up here. I guess she went home. She told me she was going to stay. She wanted me to pray for her. Well, praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the deliverance. I thank you that deliverance is your children's bread. I thank you, Father, that you've given us authority over all the powers of the enemy. All of the powers, not some of them, but all of them. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you now for delivering your children. Father, I just ask you to let the presence of your Holy Spirit come forth. Your word says the anointing breaks the yoke. Let the anointing come forth to break the bondage. And I bind that python spirit in the heavenlies. I bind the spirits of divination. I bind Jezebel in the heavens. I bind every ruler. I bind that religious spirit in the heavenlies in the name of Jesus. I bind that spirit that tries to stop us from hearing you, Father, every part of that python. Lord, I bind its power so it cannot squeeze nor destroy in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You said, whatever I bind on earth, and I'm binding in this earth in the name of Jesus. You said that you would bind, it would be bound in heaven. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I just thank you now for the binding in the heavenlies. And I cut off all the power from the heavens. I ask you to seal over this church that nothing can get through to give aid to those spirits. In Jesus' name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I call that spirit of Python. I command it to come out now. You spirit that tries to destroy, loosen and let go. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. Turn them loose and let them go. Let them go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every part of it, I bind you with chains of God's word and command you out. Let her go. Let her go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on out of there. All of them. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let her go. Let them go. Come on out of there. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You demon that block, you spirit of Python that blocks the mind, that keeps us from remembering the things we need to remember. You come out of there. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Turn them loose and let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on out of there. Come on, let them go. Spirit of divination, all the divination, soothsaying under it, come out of there. Let them go. Every symptom of that thing, every root of that thing, come out in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Turn loose and come out of there. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ, loosen them. Loosen them and let them go in Jesus' name. You spirit of the false prophet that sits there and prophesies, you demon of Susan and of the Python that prophesies falsely, I command you out. Come out of them. Come out of them now in Jesus' name. You come out. I bind you and break your hold over the mind, the will, and the motion. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come out. Let them go. Let them go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You know, I missed one of the things that thing does. It seduces. Over in 1 Timothy, it talks about, I missed that scripture, that talks about it's a spirit of, also a spirit of seduction. So I call out that seducing spirit and the doctrines of devils that it speaks. In Jesus' name. Listen and come out of there. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn loose and let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Every part of that spirit, come out. Let them go in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Turn loose and come out. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I call out that part of that python that puts you to sleep when you're trying to pray. In the name of Jesus, that tries to separate you from God, come out of there. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Turn loose and come on out of there. Let them go. Let them go. Loosen them and let them go in Jesus' name. All the witchcraft and divination that's an idolatry, I call it out in Jesus' name. Loosen them and let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus, loosen. And I break its hold. I break that power of holding on to and clinging to in the name of Jesus and command it to go. Loosen and come out of there. Let them go. Come on out of there in Jesus' name. Every part of the python. Come on, you got to go. You can't stay. You can't stay. You spirit of divination. You spirit of witchcraft. You spirit of the false prophet. Come out of there. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, turn loose and come out of there in Jesus' name. I call out Jezebel. I break that spirit. I back up. I'm going to go after Ahab first. I call the spirit of Ahab out. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Spirit of Ahab, come out of there. Let them go. Let them go. That manipulating spirit of Ahab, let them go. Turn them loose and come out of there in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Listen to them. I break the power of it and I command it to go. Turn loose and come out. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on out and burn the demon. In the name of Jesus. Let her go. Let her go. Ahab, come out of her. Come out of her in Jesus' name. Let her go. In the name of Jesus Christ. Turn loose and let her go. Children, won't you? In Jesus' name. I call Jezebel out. Every spirit of Jezebel. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Come out of there. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Loosen and come out of there. Come out of there in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I call that hissing spirit out, the way that thing hisses. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on out of there. Let them go. Let them go. Come on. Jezebel, Ahab, and the Python. All three. The religious spirit. Apollyon. Come on out of them. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, spirit of Leviathan, all that I named, I'm trying to remember them, help me remember them, y'all. In the name of Jesus, come on out of there, let them go, let them go, turn loose and come out of there, loosen and let go, in Jesus' name. Jesus is Lord, loosen and come out of there, in the name of the Lord Jesus, loosen, come out of there, in Jesus' name, loosen, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Yeah, if some of you want some individual deliverance, raise your hand. Okay, I got a lady here and Bernadine. Anybody else? You want to pray for her? You sitting nearby? Huh? Oh, you want some too, sweetie? Okay. Okay. I got one here and one there. And I got three more. Darlene, would you take one of these girls and pray for them? Fern, are you up to praying for somebody? Would you take her? Her? Let's see. I got one young lady right here. Okay, well, I'll tell you what we do. Go ahead and take them, if you will, and move them. Get your chair, move back in to where you can get by them. And begin to pray for them. Okay, I'll get to you just as soon as I can, okay? What we're going to do, we're going to start with these as soon as they get through with them. If anybody else wants them in the meantime, I won't continue calling, okay? But if they'll pray. You want one? Will you take one? Okay. Would you pray for that lady right there by you? And we'll get that off of you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Okay. What I want you to do now, get your chair and get together. It's kind of separate yourself. We can put some up here too, girls. Up here in this corner, we put one right over here if we need to. Okay? You know, I like this. At home we do. We get in corners, you know. Let me get a drink. But real deliverance, you can tell them what you need to be delivered, want to get deliverance from. In the name of Jesus. Now, I'm going to continue calling on that python for those that, as soon as we get everybody sorted out. You want to pray? You want to pray with somebody? I tell you what, if you want to learn, if you're not wanting some more deliverance, if you want to learn, you might get close to one of these girls so you can hear and see what's going on. What about you? What are you sitting there acting so innocent for? You want Daddy back there? Go back there and help her, please, ma'am. I forget them. If Shelter rose your hands, here I am. Okay, now if you want to hear and learn, get close to someone and pray in the spirit while they're calling out. You want to pray? Go sit with somebody and pray. Just pray in spirit with them. Okay? You don't have to call them out. You don't want to somebody with help. You want some help? Linda. Help Fern. Would you help Fern? Get her up out of the floor. Get her up on a chair. Get up on a chair. You don't have to do them in the floor. Listen, now, you got them where you'd be comfortable. We don't want to make the spirits very comfortable. In the name of Jesus. Okay. Okay. Now, is everybody taking... You two ladies want to pray with somebody? I got another one over there sitting over there. If you guys want to help, just get close. What you can do, you can learn if you get right real close to them. Can't get in there, Rebecca? You pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit with them. And if the Lord shows you something, then tell the one that's doing it.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.